Ready to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know you've been waiting for the message. And well, my message is all about what's waiting for us as we are waiting on the Lord in our lives. Read verses 1 through 10 together. I invite you to please stand out of reverence and respect for the Lord's Word as we read in unison verses 1 through 10. Let's begin together. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has done this for this very purpose, and has given us His Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Well, Jonathan and Hope are married. They have been waiting a long time. Over the past couple of years, and until it was made formal and announced publicly, they were waiting. And they were waiting a long time, waiting for all the blessings and the benefits of being married. And we rejoice together with them. Similarly, we are waiting, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are waiting for the Lord Jesus to bring the blessings and the benefits and the rewards of our salvation to us. And while we wait, the Scripture here challenges us. Paul tells us, just like him, we are to please the Lord. We are to serve the Lord in our lives. And he promises that if we will do this, that there are great benefits for our salvation, but there are also rewards that he's going to give to us. He's going to reward us greatly. How many of you like to be rewarded? Now, if you don't, I'll take your reward. We all like to be rewarded, even in simple things. It's nice to have someone say, hey, you know, thank you so much. Great job. We appreciate what you're doing, whether it's stacking chairs after before the wedding and after setting them back up. And again, thanks to all those that set the sanctuary back up again from last night. Thank you. You did a great job. I came in this morning, and it was great. I think I had to move two or three chairs. Everybody likes to be rewarded. We don't go to work without expecting to be rewarded with a pay, unless you're weird and don't want to get paid. Anybody don't want to get paid for your work? Okay. So we want to be rewarded. We like to be rewarded. And God, listen, God understands that. He made us that way. He made us to enjoy and to desire to be rewarded for the things that we do. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not to be our primary motivation. That is the benefit. Rather, our first motivation is that we are to please the Lord. And so the main point of this message is this. We are to make it our goal to please the Lord. For we will all give an account of ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to say quickly that this is not talking about our salvation. We do not try to gain our salvation by pleasing the Lord through good works. In fact, in weeks past, we've looked in the book of Romans, and it talked there very clearly, and it says no one will be justified through the works of the law. Nobody is made pleasing to God through the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin, and sin shows us our need for Christ, the one who fulfilled the law perfectly. And when we put our faith into Jesus Christ, we are then saved through His righteousness, not ours. We put our trust and our faith into Christ, and He in turn gives us His righteousness, and then we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And so, this morning as we look at this, please understand this is not about our salvation, but rather about the blessings and the benefits of being saved, and what God has in store for us, what's waiting for us. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to deal with the first thing, and that is to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ by putting your faith in Christ. Wherever you're at in your life, whatever your background is, it really makes no difference. All of us stand at level ground before the cross, and the Lord calls each and every one of us to repent of our sin, our unbelief, and to put our faith in Christ, and then to follow Him as our Lord, our Master, our boss. Christians are sometimes a little bit schizophrenic. I tell you what, if you listen to all the different Christian teachers that are out there, some are on TV, some are on the radio, if you listen to all of them, you know, one of them over here might say, well, God doesn't heal anymore today. Then listen over here, will say, well, God heals everyone all the time. You begin to think God is schizophrenic. And it's not God. Let me tell you, it's not God that's having the difficulty. It's us. We're having a difficult time getting it straight. But there's another thing that Christians sometimes are schizophrenic about, and that is that we say, Lord, Lord. And by that statement, Lord, that means Master. That means boss. It means you're the one that I obey. You're the one that I follow. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says to the people all around Him, He says, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I tell you? You understand what He's saying? He said, people, wake up. Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I tell you to do? And let's admit, and I'll be the first one to admit, there are times that I say, Lord, Lord, and I don't do the things that God calls me to do, that I'm told in the Word to do. Amen? And if I think anything about us, that you're something like me, that you and I both struggle with this. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, as we sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so it's the blood of Jesus that covers us, that saves us, that makes us God's child, God's son or His daughter. But here, we're talking about pleasing the Lord and the benefits and the rewards that are going to come from that. And so I want this to be a positive message for you and I to understand what God has planned for us, what we are waiting for. Now, this is a positive thing as we look at this, and even the idea of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. People hear that and like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. You mentioned that word, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm scared. That's the Bema seat, right? That's where Christ is the judge. He did not come first as judge, but rather as Savior. As was quoted from Isaiah 53, He came to take our sins upon Himself. And by His wounds, we are healed. Amen? He took it all for us. The chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. And if you believe that, and you receive it into your life, then you are saved, and you are a son or a daughter of God. But here, it's a positive thing to stand before the throne of Christ, the accounting of ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ, unless... You still awake? I want to make sure you hear this. Unless you're sloughing off. Unless you're goofing off. unless you're walking with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of Christ. And if that's the case, watch out. I believe there's going to be some divine spanking in heaven for those that play that game and won't get off the fence and give themselves fully to Christ. It's a positive thing unless we're goofing off and not doing what we should do, because we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And you know the context of that, Matthew 24, it's you know, the ones that are asking the Lord, who he's saying, well done to, they ask, Lord, when did we serve you? When did we see you hungry and naked or poor and help you? When did we do this? And he said, whenever you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. And so when you stop and help that person who's got a flat tire on the side of the road, and you help them fix that tire, and you get all nasty and greasy and sweaty, you've done it unto the Lord. And I hope that you will communicate that to the person. You know, don't just say, hey, I'm a really good guy, and that's why I'm helping you to flat. Give me a 20. No. You say, you know what? I bless you because, you know what, Jesus loves me, and I am so glad that I've had the opportunity to just bless you and help you here. God bless you. That's what you do. Or if you see somebody struggling, you give them a bottle of water or you buy them a hamburger or whatever it may be. You are doing it unto the Lord. That's a good work. That's doing it unto Jesus. Whatever our gifts are, whatever opportunities are that God gives to us, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to give an account of ourselves before the Lord, and the Lord says, Tom, you had this opportunity, and yet you didn't do it. Why not? And I'll be like, I'll be looking over here, nobody there. I'll be looking over here, Ashley, where are you? No, it's going to be me standing before the Lord. No excuses, cutting through all the stuff. And giving the account of ourselves, why did we not do it? And so you and I, listen, you and I are going to give an account before the Lord. We are. And I hope that this is not to scare us, but to motivate us that we will indeed do good works so that we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, let's define some terms here. Verse 9, he says, we make it our goal then to please the Lord. We make it our goal to please the Lord. This word please means that we labor, that we strive out of love, not out of law. We labor and we strive out of love. We sang that song earlier, your love never fails, it never gives up. It's always there for me. That's not the right word though, what is it? Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. Never gives up. Never runs out on me. Why? Because we love because He first loved us. The reason that we can love, the reason that we can please the Lord out of a motivation of love is because He's first loved us. That's how it works. You see, and in Romans 5, Paul says that God has poured His love into us by the Holy Spirit so that we can love. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I don't know about you, but that really helps me because sometimes I feel empty. You ever feel that way? I mean, you just feel like an empty cup with a bunch of dry, brittle stuff in the bottom. And you're like, Lord, I just feel so dry, so empty. Lord, I just need you to fill me up again. I hope that as we come and we worship together, I hope that is something you are learning to do in our times of worship. Lord, I just need you to fill me fresh and new today. And that's one of the reasons that we come. We don't come just for that, but that is a huge benefit that the Lord desires to give us. He pours Himself into us in a fresh way. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, you talk about this a lot. Why do we have to do this every day? Oh, because we leak. We leak. You know, I don't know about you, but I leak. And I wake up in the morning and I'm not full of the Holy Spirit. I am full of Tom. Me. In fact, it's three of us. I'm schizophrenic. Me, myself, and I. That's what I'm full of. And so like this morning, went down to the living room and just bowed on the chair and just said, Lord, just fill me with your spirit in a fresh way. Lord, I just need to be filled with a fresh way through your overflowing so that I can flow out onto others. And, you know, that's a simple thing. You don't have to make it a huge, you know, ritual with big lengthy prayers and fancy words. Oh, thou God's above, please do beseech thee that you would fill me afresh. You know, don't do that silliness. First of all, I don't think God knows what you're talking about. He'll say, what does beseech mean? And you're like, scratching your head. Just make it a simple prayer. Lord, I just feel empty. I need you today. Please fill me. Please, Holy Spirit of God, please fill me today. Well up within me. Let there be rivers of living water that flow out of me. Amen? I don't want just those little drops to fall off of me. I want rivers of living water, streams of living water to flow out on me. And that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we labor, we strive out of love to please the Lord. We do it out of His love. Let's break it down in the few minutes that we have together. Number one, and this one is particularly a benefit of our salvation, not a reward for faithful service. Number one, a new heavenly body is coming. Can you say amen to that? Boy, oh boy. After some of these long days, you know, whew, I'm looking forward to that new body. I'm fighting the battle of the bees. Baldness, bunions, bulge, breaking down. There's a bunch more, I can't remember. You know, I got the chest in the drawer syndrome. My chest is falling into my drawers. You all laughing, some of y'all is too. All right, I went into a auto parts store the other day, picking up some parts, and there's a little girl who works in there, and she's about this tall, and she is skinny as a rail. I mean, she's like a toothpick. And she was saying something about, well, she's skipping lunch because she's got to lose some weight. I'm like, what? I said, that's weight that has to be lost, not you. I said, you look like you have to run around the shower to get wet. I said, if you drink tomato juice, you're going to look like a thermometer. These earthly bodies are breaking down. As you get older, you know, how many of you understand that in a real way? Your bodies are breaking down. Some of you young pups, you think your body's going to be like it is the rest of your life. I got some news for you. Surprise! Man, there was a time I could jump up on those parallel bars and I could do 20 dips at once. Now I look at that and I say, I'm a dip. I'm not getting on that thing. I just about pump out, you know, 20 push-ups just without batting an eye. The only time I push myself up is up out of bed now. These bodies are breaking down, and we understand that this earthly body is wasting away. But guess what? God has a new heavenly body waiting for us. Can you say amen? He's got a new one. And even if you're young and your body's in good shape relatively and so on, guess what? His new heavenly body that he has for you and for me, it is 1,000 times better than this physical body. This physical body requires a lot of maintenance. There's a lot of pizza that goes into this thing, let me tell you what. But this beautiful body that God has waiting for us is a body, watch this, it's going to be just like the Lord Jesus' body. We're going to recognize each other in heaven. We're going to recognize each other when we get our new glorified body. Do you remember when Jesus came back to his disciples? And they were like, oh, they were afraid of him. Why were they afraid of him? Because they thought he was a ghost, a spirit. And he says, look at me. He goes, feel my hand. Put your fingers in the holes of my hand. See that I am not a spirit, but it is I myself, he said. They still don't believe him. So he says, guys, you got any pizza here? I'm sorry, no, he said fish. Got any fish here? Got anything to eat? And he ate it in their presence to show that he is not a spirit. He had a new, glorified physical body. And that's what the Lord is telling us. This is what He has for us. But let's talk a little bit just about this process of wasting away, but what our hearts and our minds should be set on. Chapter 4, just a passage right before chapter 5 here, verses 16 through 18. Park Slott is going to read that for us.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Amen. Thank you, Park. That's a sermon in itself, but I just want to reference the fact that Paul says, we don't lose heart, even though outwardly we're wasting away. And as you get older, you really understand that more and more. Now, some of us wish we were wasting away a little bit quicker in certain spots. You know, and as we grow older, man, I don't know who ever said that getting old was the golden years. We got a lot of problems with these bodies. Just recently, the doctor started me on some blood pressure medication to bring my blood pressure down a little bit. He said, you need to find a new job with no stress. I said, Doc, that ain't going to happen. Unless all of you immediately become perfect and don't have any problems and don't bring any of those problems or burdens to me. Bring them all to Ashley from now on. And everything will be fine. But the body begins to waste away. And really, this is a part of the decay that we are all under. And we preached about this some months ago from Romans chapter 8, that our bodies, as part of this physical creation, all of it is under a curse. And even the creation around us, it tells us, Romans chapter 8, I believe it's in verse 27, it says, the creation around us groans and longs to be set free. And so God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And all of this is going to be done away with as we know it. And so we're told here, don't get discouraged. Don't let your focus be on your bodies that are wasting away, but rather put your eyes on that which is eternal. Outwardly we're wasting away, but guess what? As I preached last week, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We are being transformed and renewed day by day. Amen? So don't have your eyes on that focus, but rather on the fact that I'm being transformed and ultimately a new body's coming. A new one's coming. So verses 6 through 8 makes it clear that if we are absent from the body, then we are at home with the Lord. Absent from the body, then we're at home with the Lord. Say that with me. Absent from the body equals home with the Lord. Why do I make such a point of that? Because there is no such thing as doctrine of soul sleep. There are some denominations that teach that Christians, when you die, you have what's called soul sleep. That you exist in an unconscious state until the time comes and God gives you a new body. Well, guess what? Paul tells us here that if I'm absent from this body, I'm at home with the Lord. Now, if he wants to keep me around him as a spirit person without a physical body, without a glorified body, that's fine with me. I mean, he's God. He can do what he wants. But don't tell me that I'm just going to fall into some kind of unconscious sleep and be there forever. Now, our physical bodies, these decaying bodies, yes, indeed, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, these physical bodies will sleep until God resurrects them. But we as people, as true spiritual people, spirit persons that God has redeemed, we go to be with the Lord immediately. Absent from the body means at home with the Lord. Just want to throw that in there as a little mini sermon. Number two, how do we know? How do we know that God is going to give us a new body, a new glorified body? How do we know? Well, first of all, and very importantly, we know that Jesus, who's gone before us, we sang about that. You overcame the grave. Lord, you overcame. You went through death and you overcame, so I don't have to be afraid of death. It's one of the things that I talk with my mom about over and over again. I kept saying, Mom, you're getting ready to die. You're getting ready to pass. Do you understand that? And she did. She understood that. In fact, she wanted it. She's been saying that for years. She said, can you believe this? And I'm still alive? She's like, how much? She said, this can't go on very much longer. That's what she would say. She said, I'm not going to be around too much longer. I said, Mom, I don't know. I don't have any control over that. But I kept saying, you understand, Mom, that time is, you're going to pass. Time is coming. You're going to pass. And she said, I know. I know. I said, Mom, are you at peace with that? She said, oh, yes. She knew time was coming. She was going to transition. She was going to graduate. She's leaving this old broken body behind and go on to be with the Lord. Now, let me just say for a moment, my mom was 92 and a half, and for probably 91 years of her life, she's had no major medical concerns. That's a pretty good physical existence, isn't it? Anybody sign up for that? That's 91 years of, except I think maybe for some blood pressure medication as she got into those late years. No physical issues, strong heart, mind was sharp as a tack. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. And then, within about a year and a half, she went downhill and she graduates. Now she's got a good glorified body. That's a pretty good deal. Some of y'all, you've been struggling with physical ailments and issues, hips replaced, knees replaced, all kinds of replacements. And you're going to be dealing with this for years. And some of us have had these kind of struggles. As Paul says, look, don't lose heart. Listen, folks, don't lose heart. This is temporary. This is a temporary earth suit. And we know Jesus has gone before us and he came back with a new glorified body. And how do we know? Because his disciples saw him. They put their fingers in his hands. He says, put your hand in my, hey, Thomas, come here, Thomas. Put your hand in my side and see that it is me. Stop doubting. And Thomas says, Jesus, my Lord and my God. He knew he was alive. And so we have a guarantee because we know one has gone before us. But there's another aspect. God has given us his spirit as a deposit. God has given us his spirit as a deposit. In fact, he's given us a deposit. Listen, he wants us to understand that this is the very purpose for which he made us. He did not make us to be temporary humans. He didn't make us to be, humans that would live for a short span of life and then die and be separated from him. That's not why he made us. He made us to be awesome spirit beings that we live and relate with him for all eternity. Listen, he has made you. Every one of you, every one of us, he has made you to be an awesome spirit being. And when I say spirit, I don't mean, Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of spirit. I'm talking about a spiritual person who has a glorified body, a body that is going to exist with the Lord forever. He's made you and I to be people who will live with him forever. That's what he tells us. It's right here. I think it's verse 5. I don't have my glasses. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose. What purpose? To give us a heavenly dwelling so that we can be with him forever. Can you say amen to that? If you are sometimes frustrated by the physical struggle, the angst of life, and I hope you think about this at times, I do. As I'm getting older, I think about this. I said, Lord, there's more than this, isn't there? Dear Lord, I hope there's more than this. I'm getting to a point now where, things are difficult and I don't have the energy that I used to have. And I'm like, Lord, I hope there's more than this because I'm not going uphill, I'm going downhill. I hope there's more than this. And the Lord says, there is. There is. He says, you can't even imagine how awesome it's going to be. You can't even imagine. it has not entered into the mind of man. Eye has not heard. Ear has not heard. How awesome. Neither has it entered into the mind of man. How awesome what God has planned for those who love Him. Can you say amen? You and I, just think for the most awesome experience you've had in human life. Just think about that for a moment. Some of you recently married, and you think that's the most awesome thing that's happened to you. Give it a few years. I'm just kidding, just having a little fun. It is still awesome, baby. It's still awesome. It's going to be a lonely afternoon. But think for a moment, the most awesome experience that you had on earth. You know, my sister and brother-in-law last winter went to visit their daughter who moved out to Portland, Oregon. And they went out and visited out there, and the land, the creation around them is beautiful. The people are weird. But creation around them, I mean, there's waterfalls, mountains. I mean, it's just the pictures that they took back and sent to us. Oh, my goodness, it's just beautiful out there. I'd love to go out and visit there. Like I said, the people are kind of weird. But God has said to us, if I can do this, creating, you know, this beautiful earth out of nothing, creating with molecules these beautiful creations, if I can do that, guess what I can do in your life? I can create a beautiful spirit person who is going to live with me eternally. And how do we know it? Because He's given His Spirit to us as a deposit. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us His Spirit as a deposit. Watch this. Guaranteeing what is to come. That's the best guarantee that you can get in this life. Here's one that doesn't lie. We're used to things, you know, with a guarantee. You know, we buy everything from Walmart or Kmart and, you know, you can take it back no matter what. That's not the kind of guarantee He's talking about. He's talking about the fact that He's going to take a broken body that encases a spirit being, and He's going to give us a beautiful, glorified body so that we can live with Him forever. But you must first put your faith in Christ and then receive the deposit of His Spirit. Amen? You must put your faith in Christ, and then you must serve Him as Lord. And that proves that your faith is genuine. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Colby Garrett is going to read that for us.
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked with Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise and glory. To the praise of His glory.
It's a difficult passage. You got it. You also were included in Christ. How and when? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Many of you have grown up in this church and you have heard the gospel of your salvation for years. And here's one of the things I hope and I pray for, that you will not walk away from your faith. When you encounter a world out there, whether it's at the workplace or through friends or in the college level or even at the high school level, where you encounter people that tell you, man, you believe all that nonsense? That's just a bunch of fairy tales. You believe that stuff? Man, you're one of those Christians. You're one of those Jesus freaks? Man, I can't believe that. You're weird. Man, you're out of it. You're a loser. You know what? I was included in Christ when I heard the gospel of salvation. I heard that word of truth. You and I need to cling to that. In this world that is not friendly towards Christians, you and I need to cling to this. We need to decide, what is it that my life is going to be all about? Is it all going to be about what people think? Or is it going to be about the gospel of my salvation? And then when we hear that word of truth and we put our faith in Christ, having believed, you see, it's not automatic. It doesn't happen to people automatically, and it doesn't happen to everyone just because it's a great idea and it's a nice idea. I wish it were true. I wish that everybody could be saved. And you know what? So does God. 1 Peter chapter 3, God desires that none perish, but all come to repentance. God, that's God's desire. It's God's wish. He does not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to faith in Christ, repent, and be saved. That's what God's desire is. That's what He works for. That's why He sends His Son into this world. That's why He sends His Spirit into this world. The Spirit works on people's hearts, trying to soften their hearts. But you know, sometimes people are like Pharaoh. Time after time after time, God gave him opportunity, but it says what? But Pharaoh hardened his heart. The first three times, Pharaoh hardens his heart. And guess what? The next times after that, God hardens his heart. He says, okay, you want to play hardball? We'll play hardball. God doesn't desire anybody to perish, but to be saved. But you must believe. You must, by an act of your will, you must put your faith in Christ. It must be personal, meaning you must do it, and it must be particular. You can't just say, oh, you know, I think I'll do that. I guess I'll do that at some point in my life. No. Today is the day of salvation. You must put your faith in Christ today if you hear His voice and you have not done that. It says, don't harden your heart. Put your faith in Christ. And when you do that, watch this. You still with me? Say amen. You receive the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, and He marks you. He says, you belong to me. God says, you have my Spirit in you, and you belong to me. You're mine. I don't know about you, that makes me feel good. I'm not confused about who I am. I have a right account of myself, understand that. You know, I don't think I'm some big spiritual superstar. I do love to preach His Word. I'm not saying I'm very good at it, but I like to preach His Word. I have a right account of myself, but I know who I am. I am a child of my Father in heaven. I am a son of the Most High. Jesus is my older brother. That's what the Scripture says, Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus is my older brother. And guess what? He's not ashamed to call me friend. Because I put my faith in Him. Amen? I know who I am. I'm a child of the King. Now, that doesn't mean I can act like, you know, an impudent son, an arrogant son. No, it means I serve Him out of love. And so, Paul tells us here, keep your eyes on the prize. We have a guarantee of His Spirit within us. It's going to guarantee what is to come. He's guaranteeing that I am going to get this new, transformed spiritual body. I can't wait. I've told you before, Jesus ate fish. I can eat pizza. Right? Amen. Jesus had fish and chips and all that kind of stuff. If I get my glorified body, there's going to be some heavenly pizza. Number three, in this lifetime, as we struggle with the outward man, as we're wasting away, we're told that we are to serve the Lord and do good works. And number three, we will be rewarded for the good we do. We will be rewarded. Verse 10 tells us, we are going to give an account of ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ. Each may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. I hope that most of us are sitting here and saying, Lord, I'm trying to do good. I really am, Lord. I struggle. I fail. But I'm trying to do good. Lord, You've motivated me. I love, Lord, because You first loved me. And out of love, Lord, I want to serve. I want to help. I believe that for most people, even non-Christians, most people want to help. There are exceptions. There are people who are very selfish, very self-centered. They don't want to help. They're all about themselves. But for many people, they want to help other people. Did you know that America, we are the most generous nation, the most generous people in the world? And you know, for those that want to diss this country, that want to be critical of this country, that want to slam this country, there are other countries in this world that will invite you and help you to go to. This is a great country. And we make it great by those of us who stand up and we serve God out of love and goodness and a heart. And you know what? That leads the way. Jesus said, be salt of the earth, be light of the world. Lead the way. Just because other people around you aren't doing good, that doesn't mean that you have to stop or you have to feel awkward. Lead the way. Be a leader. Be a leader, man of God. Be a leader, woman of God. Young men, young women, be leaders for God. Set the pace. Let people see that being a child of God, being a saved Christian, means that I am here to serve others. I am here to do good. Jesus said, let your light so shine before people that they see your good works and they praise God in heaven. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we've led our young people into mission projects, work projects. That's why as men's group and women's group, we've gone down and helped people build their homes and fix things. And that's why when we have people that are sick and infirm, that we have a meal ministry where we bring meals to them. And we have people that visit, people who are in a nursing home and others. These are all part of the things. Get involved if you're not doing those things. There's a place for you here. You can use your gifts, whatever they are. You might say, Pastor, I'm just not very good at talking to people. I'm kind of shy and, you know, a little bit introverted. That's okay. Can you cook? Can you make them a pot of Jewish penicillin? Chicken soup? Help them get out of their illness? Help them to feel better? Maybe you can't cook. Maybe you can write some fantastic notes. There's some fantastic note people here in this church. I'm gonna brag on Tammy Nielsen for a minute. I've received so many notes from her, so many encouraging notes, and I know many of you have too. And from Mama Nell, many encouraging notes. That's their ministry. They're doing good. And you know what? It's not just two or three. It's how many people have received a note from Mama Nell? Oh, my goodness. Isn't that incredible or what? And so Jesus said, I'm going to reward you when you do good. Not only are we doing it because we love the Lord, we're excited because we want to share His love with other people, but guess what? You and I are going to get rewarded. There's going to be a tremendous benefit in this. He tells us. He's going to reward us. Revelation 22, verse 12. Jesus says these words. It's some of the last words that He says to His people, the church. Revelation 22, 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will repay everyone according to what he has done. I want it to be a positive thing in my life. I know the blood of Jesus covers me, my failures, my mistakes. And I don't have an arrogant attitude. And I'm doing things, you know, that I'm trying to get the glory for them. Put my name on a plaque. Please don't. Please don't ever suggest that. I went into a church a couple of months ago, and everywhere you turned, there was a plaque, you know, honored in honor of the person's name, in memory of. That is nonsense. It is not about you, and it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus. If you want to put a plaque that says, this is in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the kind of plaque we could put up. Amen? Not people, even if they give a lot of money. You're only doing what God has told you to do. So what? You and I are only doing what God has called us to do. Jesus is coming soon. He says, my reward is with me. It's right here. He's ready to give it out for the good things. Now, there will be reward for doing good, but I have to give you the warning too, because the Scripture tells us there's a warning. There will be good reward for doing good, but also loss for doing bad. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, John Rich. We'll read that for us.
By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. he himself will be saved, but only one as one escaping through the flames.
That sounds frightening to me. I don't want my works to be burned up. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, we build on the very foundation that has been laid, the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then we stay in line with his work and with his words. We stay in line with it. That's why Paul himself said, I don't go beyond the word. You know, there's a lot of outlandish stuff that's going on in Christendom, in Christian circles all across this world. All kinds of outlandish stuff. And people ask me sometimes, well, Pastor, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, I am not clever enough. I am not intelligent enough to comment on all these different things. But what I can say is, you know, to me, it's outside the Word. It's beyond the Word. And honestly, I'm really not interested in it if it goes beyond the Word. You know, they're not going to answer to me. They're going to answer to God. And so every one of us has to have a right account of themselves, and we have to be considering, what is it that I'm doing? What am I doing? What am I all about? You and I have to answer to the Lord, not to me. You know, and so please don't make Pastor Tom your judge or a judge of anybody else, you know, out there might be doing this or that and the other thing. You know what? I can't speak for them. Go ask them if you think you can get an appointment with them. You know, some of these superstars, Christian superstars, if you think you can follow them and they're your buddy and everything, you know, you're tight, man. I remember this one time, this guy, I was talking to him, he's like, oh, you know, I don't go to a local church. My church is on TV. It says such and such a pastor. I said, really? That's cool. That's awesome. I said, when did you talk to him last? I said, have you ever had an appointment with him? You can't have a relationship with a cyber pastor. You know, you need to have a congregation that is live and a pastor that is there in the flesh that can talk to you and guide you and pray for you. Amen? You need to have a local church. So let me ask the question as I close. We're coming into home base here. How are you doing? How are you doing in your life and your good works? I know many of you are just, you're on fire for the Lord and you're excited at what God's doing in your life. And you see Him working things out through you, using your gifts to encourage and challenge other people. And I rejoice. How are you doing in that? You know, and if you're not there, then my challenge to you is get in the game. Get in on it. Don't be a spectator. You know, sometimes we look at church as sort of the football field, you know, that everybody's in the stands. We're the viewers. And you know, the pastor and the assistant pastor and a few of the elders and deaconesses, we're down on the floor, we're throwing the ball, and we're tired. Man, we're tired sometimes. And you know, we get on the bench and they're like, Pastor, get off the bench, man. Come on, man, we need you out there. Get out there. And I'm like, I just need a rest, a little rest here. Somebody else. I appreciate Brother Roger and Brother Mike stepping up and preaching at times, giving me a rest. Brother Ashley. Get in the game. Don't be a spectator. Find out what God has for you. What does God want you to be doing? He's given you gifts. He's given me and you gifts. And He wants us to use them. Share those gifts. 1 Peter 4. Everyone should use whatever gift God has given to administer the grace of God, the manifold grace of God. Your gift is an expression of the grace of God, and He wants you to use it. Not just in this family here, but throughout this community. I just love it sometimes when people come, oh, Pastor, I have a great idea. Let's do such and such thing. Isn't that a great idea? I say, yeah. When are you starting that? Me? Oh, no. I thought you were going to do that, Pastor. And, you know, I hope you realize that, you know, we have certain ministries in this church. Some of them are very essential ministries. And, folks, if we want other ministries, guess what? Ask God whether you should be starting it and doing it. Because we're maxed. And we really can't start any more ministries without you getting in on it. God has some good works for us to do. Here's one that I gave you an opportunity about earlier in the announcements. The invite. Here's the invitation. That's a good work right there. I want to brag on Ron and Wanda Walters for a minute. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, we had one of these friend days. And they invited Steve and Lori Trumpler to come on out. Amen. Stand up, you guys. God bless you. And they came to that service, and that Sunday morning, they prayed to receive Christ, the both of them, that day. They'd not gone to church before. They came in here looking at us like, ooh, man, there's some weird people in here. Ronnie and Wanda, I'm glad you guys are here because some weird people here. And the Spirit of God was working on them already, obviously drawing their hearts already. And they prayed to receive Christ that morning. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Can you give God a hand? Can you give Him a hand for that? That's what He did. But guess what? It started with a simple invitation from Ron and Wanda. I'm sure you've invited them numerous times, and you prayed for them, and you encouraged them, and you challenged them. But somewhere along the line, they invited them, and they said, okay, we'll come. And then you all behaved yourself for the most part. And we had a great day, and God, the Spirit, worked and moved and saved them. And now they've been with us for years and are serving and encouraging other people. That's a beautiful thing. And so simple. Use it. Invite. That's a good work. You know, maybe there's somebody and you just, you know, God's put them in your circle of contacts, circle of influence, and you're like, I just don't ever see them coming, darkening the door of a church. Well, how are you going to know? How are you going to know what God wants to do if you don't give God an opportunity? Some of y'all, I know what you're thinking right now. Especially some of you young people. You're like, Pastor, you know, y'all are so square. Y'all are so weird. Especially that preacher. And at least there's only one. I expected a lot. But, you know, folks, you got to get over that. You got to get over that. Because I think for the most part, we're pretty normal people here. And you know, it's our church model that, you know, this is a church for everyone. But it's also what you see is what you get. You know, we're not here as fancy, you know, museum for saints. We're just, you know, rank and file Christians. And I think we're pretty transparent as people. I think we're a great congregation, personally. I brag on you all the time. I really do. And you know, you and I got to get past this of people thinking that we're weird. Get over it, because we are weird. You know, if we're following Jesus, then we are different than most people in the world. But give God an opportunity. Let God be the one to determine if this person has interest. And I promise I will do my best not to be really weird next week. I'll try to preach and stay on task and not go off on, and I won't say any really corny jokes, that kind of thing. Well, I don't know about that. I'll tell some jokes, but I'll try to do my best. Well, let's make this a beautiful night. Let's make this something. God, can you do something through me? Can you invite somebody, and God, can you move upon them so that they would want to come out? Oh God, would you use someone like me? Let's pray. This is our heart, Father. We love because you first loved us. And we want to serve, we want to love through you. And a lot of times we fail in this, Lord. I know I do. But Lord, would you work in our hearts today and give us a desire to reach out, Lord, to give you an opportunity to show yourself strong through us. Lord, I know that's frightening, that's scary for some of us, but Lord, help us in this. By your Spirit, help us. And we know you're going to do some pretty awesome things, as you have done. You've saved us. You've saved me, Lord. You can save me. You can save anyone. So, Lord, please have your way. And Lord, perhaps there's some here today that this whole relationship with Jesus is a new thing for them. And I know you've been working on hearts here this morning, Lord. If you're here today and you know you need to start a relationship with Jesus, maybe you might say, Pastor, today's the day. I want to ask you to do something bold. I want you to acknowledge that God is working on your heart, and that if you're ready, if you want to receive Jesus, if you want to make this commitment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Say, I don't understand all this, but I want to know Jesus in my life. I want to have this relationship with Jesus in my life. Is that you? Would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Amen. Many across this congregation. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see these hands that are raised to you, not to me, but raised to you, Lord, in simple faith, saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I don't have all the answers and I don't understand all this, but I believe in you. I put my faith in you. I pray for each one, Lord. And I pray as a congregation that we will encourage and strengthen one another in this, Lord, because it's not easy to walk this walk. But we thank you for the strength of the Spirit and the strength that you give us through our brothers and sisters here. I bless these people. Lord, I bless them to be encouraged and challenged in the Word. And Lord, to give you that opportunity to see you work. Have your way. We give you glory and honor and praise in the church, together with all the saints. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. We're going to have our elders come on up front. And if you know you need to come and pray with somebody, you need to cement that commitment to the Lord, then come on up and let them pray with you. One of our deaconesses will be up front as well, ladies. If you have prayer, come on up for any prayer reason. First time folks, love to meet you in the lobby. God bless you all.